name is Daisuke Kawata. To introduce myself, I'm from Carnegie Observatory in Pasadena, and now I'm moving to MSSL in University College London from next October as a new faculty position. And it is exciting to move to the UK and start a new position, but this wonderful this wonderful California is very sad thing to do, and even this foggy day, I still like it. So
next time in London.
Yeah, so I really appreciate the organizer giving about time to work here and enjoy the program and learning a lot. And so today I will talk about the sun relations in a galaxy group. And this is a collaboration with my current supervisor, John Mulcahy, and also Carnegie. And the paper is just accepted today. And first of all, I should note for you, and this spatial resolution of this talk is kiloparsec scale. So please remember that. Okay. So needless to say, environmental effect on the star formation of the galaxies is one of the most important issues in a galaxy formation, since the environment effect on the properties of the galaxies is discovered in the early 1930s. And so we are still continue to studying such effect. And so recently, so we knew that in the cluster, it's very big thing and very obvious. And if we look at the cluster, and then there are lots of elliptical galaxies, and they are dead galaxies. So in the mean or median star formation fraction, star formation activity is less compared to the field and in the clusters. But recently, in a lot of galaxy redshift surveys happened, and then now we are notice that in suppression of star formation is also happening in a much smaller scale in we call groups of galaxies. So, for example, this is a figure from the Willman et al. In 2005, and they plot the velocity dispersion of the groups against this is the fraction of the passive galaxies they call. But basically, the passive means their O2 emission is much smaller, which means lack of star formation. And they did both nearby group and these dots, and these triangles are a bit higher redshift than 0.5, redshift 0.5 groups. And you can see that in even, this horizontal line is observed passive evolution, passive galaxies fraction in the nearby and the redshift 0.5 in the field. So if you compare these lines with the passive galaxies fraction in the group, and even these small groups, the passive galaxies fraction is higher than nearby group. So
can I ask a question? When you say it's suppressed, that suggests that it could happen, but something is stopping it. Is there any gas that could make stars, or maybe there's no gas left?
In the galaxies, you mean? I think that their passive galaxies, I think that they are less gas. And I think it's still it's debate if whether or not such group member galaxies in the group is less gas or compared to the field. But I think it's passive one, especially these no less star formation one must be quite the lowest. Yeah.
It's clear that there's less star formation. I'm just wondering whether that's because all the gas is already made going into stars, or whether there's plenty of gas and there's something stopping the star formation.
I think it's this gas, but I think it's still we have to look at that. And this talk is from simulations, but I'm talking about that. Okay, so in something, so it must be to explain that it must be. So yeah, there must be some mechanism. It has to be stopping star formation, and we have to now look at that what is the effect of such small groups make on the star formation history in the galaxy. So, you know, there are lots of studies, and I think it's a suppression mechanism for the star formation is basically categorized to the three major scenario like these, and I will briefly explain that. So first, mergers. And some people like mergers because it's galaxies collide and then gas used up for the star formation and big starbursts happen and then gas is just used up and then star formation stops. Or maybe more popular mechanism now is star formation. Starbursts induce lots of type 2 and type 2 supernovae, and they heat the gas, and also activate the active galactic nuclei heating, and they dump the huge energy to the interstellar medium, and then blow out the gas. And recently demonstrated by the numerical simulation carried by Di Matteo et al. In 2005. However, I think I should start to argue that, and these mechanisms works okay for the 40.5 giga year, several giga year. However, there are lots of gas in the intergalactic medium, so they must reinforce the gas, re-accrete the galaxies, and then star formation must happen. So we have to think about what mechanism can stop star formation in a long time, as seen in elliptical galaxies, you know, our nearby. So this is a bit side of story. Oh yeah.
Could you please go back?
Yeah.
So is this the first conclusion robust that the cold gas will be all exhausted in the first generation of star formation? It could be that you exhaust a certain amount of cold gas and the medium become highly turbulent because you have injected a high level of energy and this high level of turbulence will shut off further or prevent further star formation.
I don't want to get detail of that. That's because I think there are lots of argument about that. But I don't think this works anyway. As I said, gas is accreting from the intergalactic medium continuously, and you need some heating source to stop that. That's I think that what people are thinking. Yeah, just using up is. And then there's nothing, no gas in afterwards, or some turbulence is heating. I don't want to touch. I don't want to say something what I believe or what I want to believe. Yeah, I think it is still people making a model for to explain how to stop the star formation in these mechanisms. Okay, so go to the side story. Okay, so how to stop? We were thinking about how to stop the star formation for a long time, and we carried out a cosmological simulation. This is SPH simulations, and including gas and star formation. I will explain later. In the cosmological simulation, we found one bright elliptical galaxy forming, and we noticed that. Because there are lots of gas, it keeps continuously falling into the galaxies, and the gas is cooling. So it is very tough to stop the star formation in the middle of the, such big galaxies. And so we also introduced the AGN heating in 2005, and we put on a AGN heating source in the middle of the galaxy, just starting at the latest one in the previous elliptical galaxies on here. And then this plot is showing redshift versus heating rate, heating energy rate, and type 2 supernovae, from type 2 supernovae, type 1 supernovae, and also AGN. And so because of strong energy in AGN, and then this heating source could stop the star formation around 0.4. And after star formation stopped, type 2 supernovae no longer is effective because there's no star formation going on. But AGN heating can continue to heat the ISCM and prevent a continuous star formation. An important point is that they are self-regulated mechanisms. So whenever the gas is re-accreting, then AGN turn on, and then blow off, and then turn off. So they could just self-regulated by mTOR. So then we could, yeah.
When you turn on your AGN, how do you scale your black hole mass? Does it scale with your...
No, it's a, yeah, so that's a, yeah, the Springer as well, in a, like a, that a Minich group did, Gutting group did, is including a gas mass accretion to the black hole. But in this case, when we studied, we just made a simple model, and it just, if there's an inflow, then we don't know the small scale any physics anyway. So just dump some continuous energy, 10^44 L per second, in the time when the inflow is going on. So it's a very simple model. Yeah.
How yeah. does this mechanism correlate to the presence of groups of galaxies?
It's not it's not the, yeah, related to the group. This is a title story from the group figure simulation. But this galaxy's scale is, billion mass of this galaxy is like more than 10 to 13 solar mass. So you can say this galaxy is the middle of the group galaxies. So this this mechanism I'm talking about is probably needed to stop the star formation in the brightest galaxy in the group. That's what I can link to the group. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Okay, so then this self-regulated agent heating can ensure the put on a still hot gas in the system. So we could analyze also X-ray emission as well. And then we could explain both X-ray properties and also because star formation stopped, and we could explain the color of the galaxy as well. So,
wait, thinking how the gas is coming in and then it gets blown up, but it keeps on, you say it keeps on coming in from there about.
Yeah, Indian gas, yeah.
More and more gas?
Okay, so. Look at that. But it's always there's a gas and blow out this like this. So this is just gas, basically gas density map. And then blow out that like that, but still there's a gas in the middle.
Yeah. New gas coming in too. So where does the gas go?
To the intergalactic medium. Yeah.
Never comes back.
Some of them is never comes back. Some of them come back. So just, yeah. Just,
why does it ever come back?
So some of the gas is completely blown away, yeah, because they got a large enough galactic and kinetic energy from the heating of the AGN.
It's really difficult because there is this ambient pressure, so you expand out until it comes to pressure balance, and then.
Yeah, so we look at the destruction of the It's not high, of course. It's like accidentally they just got some few particles go out. Yeah.
It goes out. Yeah. They keep on adding more and more mass. I just wonder where the mass goes.
Oh.
It sounds like you're building up mass.
Yeah, and stop the star formation. Yeah. But I think I look at the density structures, and its density is in average, it's constant. So. What I said, I should say. Yeah, so in terms of the density of the conservation of the mass, yeah, it's some of the gases have to be escaped. And then we keep the density profile for a long time. However, I cannot remember how much gas is inflow and how much gas is outflow.
Well,
about the same, must have about the same, that's right, yeah. But, I haven't really checked that and how they escape and how, yeah, that's a good point. Okay, yep. Okay, so back to the main talk and the second mechanism. So this is sort of a popular mechanism in a cluster, like a bigger system, and it's so-called lump pressure stripping. So the cluster or galaxy group, which is a billiardized system, and they also have a hot gas in the billiard temperatures, like billiard temperatures. And then they consist of intercluster medium or intergalactic medium. And when the galaxies fall into such big system, they have traveled through the intercluster medium, and then they feel the lump pressure. And then, so as this simulation shows there's a disk gas, cold disk gas there, and then fall into the cluster and travel on intercluster medium, and the lump pressure strips the cold gas from the disk. So then they have to stop the star formation. But to get rid of those cold gas, very high dense cold gas, you really need a high density intercluster medium and high velocity. So I think this mechanism, or people analytically also calculate and did a simulation, it only works in a cluster like a big system. But people believe that it probably tough to work in a small system like group. Yeah.
Is there a corrupt here? Is
it density? I think this is density.
Yeah. Why does this mechanism stop star formation?
Okay, so it still keep going on. This is 31 million years, and then this simulation goes still like a couple of hundred million years, and then the cold gas is all gone. So then, of course, yeah, there's no source to make a star. Yeah. Okay, so the final mechanism I talk about today is more in a focus on is strangulation, which is suggested by Larson et al. In the 1980s. And so, first, if we look at the disk galaxies, if you can see it, like this is a simulated galaxy, but there's a cold gas there. And star formation is going on in a cold gas. But there's a hot gas around there. And so hot gas, we believe the hot gas can cool into the cold gas and supply the fresh gas in continuously and to the cold gas disk in this galaxy. However, that cold gas is much less denser than cold gas. So if they get into the like a group system or cluster system, the hot gas is much easier to be stripped by lump pressure. So then,
I didn't understand.
Okay.
You have the cold gas.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens to the cold gas?
Cold gas is stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hot gas is just stripped out.
Okay.
Yeah. So then, okay. Then what happens? So they here's the cold gas, but this mass is, and then star formations keep going, and then when the star formation used up the cold gas, then star formation stops. So this system, this mechanism has a time delay. It's not happening instantaneously, but yeah, it is a time delay. Yeah. But the last one at all is the first cleverly pointed out. If you there's no gas supply there, it's the cold gas is not much there. So if star formations keep continuously going on, then galaxy has to be used up the gas in a couple several giga years. So if there's no gas supply from the hot gas, then the star formation stops. So this is the mechanism for the strangulation. However, this is suggested a long time ago, but there's no self-consistent numerical simulation studies if really this works in a small galaxy, small system-like group. So what we did, we found is we used the cosmological simulations and then look at the small mass group, like 3 times 10^13 solar mass system, and then we have found the one galaxy, and we found several galaxies, but I talk about one biggest galaxy, one disk galaxy today, and which is whose star formation stopped by the strangulation, and I will show you the detail of the simulation, and we use. My original speech called galactic chemodynamics called DCE plus in the simulation, so I will briefly explain that. Okay, so DCD plus. This is a three-dimensional vector parallel n-body SPH code, and the dark matter and the star is a 3-n-body code, and gas is modeled by smooth particle hydrodynamics, and relative cooling, star formation, supernova feedback, and metal enrichment is included. And relative cooling is, we consider the UV work and radiation, which is suggested by Altmadao in 2001. And we also use the non-equilibrium chemical evolution of the hydrogen and helium, and I think it's including H2 as well, which is Tom showed us a long time ago, 10 years ago now. And we also follow the chemical evolution, so we also including metal cooling, but this is equilibrium cooling is included. And chemical evolution part, we in a code, if the gas density becomes high enough, so this is the kiloparsec scale simulation, and also gas density, gas is falling, gas velocity field is converging, and also cooling time is smaller than dynamical time. We make a star formation rate following a Schmidt law. And the one particle is sort of like 10 to the 6 solar mass, and it's sort of, we assume that it's like a stellar cluster. And so we assume IMF follows the Salpeter IMF. And then some of the, using that particle, some of the time is going on depending on age and the metallicity, and some massive galaxies die, and then blow out type 2 supernovae, and then sometimes go on type 1 supernovae happen, and we follow that, and then dump the metal and energy to the interstellar medium. And we include metal enrichment from those supernovae and also mass loss from the AGB stars, you know, mass is less than the solar mass. And we follow the, these different chemical elements in the core as well. Okay, so cosmological simulation. So we carry, using that DCD plus, we carry the cosmological simulation. And we use the 3-year double map cosmology, and as explained, this is just cosmological volume, but we focus on this small group, small galaxy group today. And the mass resolution and the spatial resolution of the particle is like this. Okay, to give you an idea, we will show you the animation. And these are density map of dark matter and gas and stars. And animation starts from redshift 2.7 because it's more interesting. And but of course simulation starts in a much higher redshift, like 30. Okay. So as time goes on and your system gets bigger and bigger because those lots of satellite galaxies going in, and also so. Okay, and then today I will focus on this galaxy highlighted by circle. So I will show you the analysis of this galaxy, what happened during this evolution. And I will call this guy the target galaxy today. Okay, so this is the history of the target galaxies. And this is the redshift, and this black line shows the distance of the target galaxies from the center of the this group. So they fall, and also this blue line showing the virial radius of the this group. And these galaxies fall into the group in about redshift 0.3, and past the pericenter in 0.2 or something like that. And then this bottom panel shows, the black line shows the star formation rate of the target galaxies. And the blue line shows mass accretion rate into the target galaxy. So before they fall into the group, the star formation rate is comparable to the mass accretion rate. So mass accretion is maintained star formation rate as well. But once the galaxies enter the holes into the group, and then this mass accretion almost stop, and then star formation rate decline because and they start using up the gas, and then eventually star formation stops. So, okay, so when the gas accretion nearly stop in around 0.26. Okay, so this is a dark matter density map from redshift 0.5 to 0, and I highlighted these target galaxies here and here and here, and this is a close-up view across 50 kiloparsecs, I think. And these images are outbound image created from post population synthesis, and contour show the cold gas density. And so when gas accretion stop is around the 0.26. And we can see, this arrow shows the velocity of the target galaxy. And you can see the cold gas is getting low, less and less. And also, the point 0.26, when the gas accretion stops, there's some cold gas tail behind the galaxy. So it looks like some cold gas strip is going on, but you have to check that. And we can check from the simulation. Yeah?
Particle resolution probably doesn't allow it, but do you get things like GMC associations in your simulations in your gas? Greater than 10 to 7 solar masses that you could think of as an association of giant
molecular clouds. Some collision also induced by when? Yeah, it's interesting, but we couldn't, of course, see that. But
how cold is your gas now?
Usually 10 to 4K.
Oh.
But it's some sort of star formation rate is sort of increasing when they get into it, but so it's some tidal interaction to the group potential may induce some collision density enhancement in the scale of the cold disk, but it's not like scale as you're talking about.
So just wondering, on the hot gas and
niche
emission initially, before it goes into the group, it's surrounded by hot gas, but the hot gas apparently has a short cooling time, so it's condensing onto the galaxy.
Yeah.
But then again, it goes the gas in the group is much hotter, and so once the galaxy is in the intergroup, the group region, then it's too hot and it doesn't condense. So that what happens?
That's interesting. I will show you that. But basically, it seems stripped. So hot gas is stripped by the lump pressure.
Oh, I thought the strangulation was
kind of
hot gas.
Yeah, hot gas is stripped rather than evaporating.
Well, originally, the hot gas was warm, and it wasn't very hot because it was cooling off. That's why it was condensing onto the galaxy.
Yeah,
it's the temperature of the hot gas went up. The temperature of the gas around the galaxy increased as it went into the group, and that's why it can no longer cool and condense.
I see. Yeah, well, I think I want to discuss later that one, that question. Yeah, it's an interesting point, and I will get back to the point in the later. Yeah. Okay, so we want to look at more carefully what is happening on this one. So now I look at the damp pressure strength, so we know where the galaxy is and what is the intergalactic density of the intergroup medium and what is the velocity of the galaxy. So we can calculate the lump pressure stripping, the lump pressure in that position. So that's just 0.26, I will focus on that. And now I plotted this galaxy so that the z-axis is the direction of this galaxy is moving. Okay, so the scale of axis is now 50 kiloparsecs. And so now I calculate including all the gas particles, I calculate the restoring force, which is basically the gravity to keep the gas particle or gas in the system, in the target galaxy. And this is expected or estimated lump pressure in that group, within that group at latitude 0.26. So if the force for the gas particle is higher than this lump pressure, then they shouldn't be able to be stripped from the system. They should stay there. And these different color of the dots, so the cold gas in the blue dot and the red open circle hot gas. So you can see that.
So what's the definition of cold and hot?
Ah, okay. Yeah, sorry. Low temperature is more than 4.3, then I define that as cold gas. Hot gas. Yeah, so just some arbitrary cutoff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I made it. So that's a, yeah, that's a definition, you know, whole time in the deep soak. Okay, so then the hot gas is much less bounded, and then the hot gas is strong enough to slip them. So that you can see, analyze from that. And then, so let's see what happens. So I look at the, all the gas particles within 30 kiloparsec in a target galaxy, then it's 0.26, and then I can tag that particle on. And then and I can see how their properties change. So this line shows the fraction, mass fraction compared to the mass of the hot gas at 0.26. And the red line shows how much fraction of the gas particles stay as the hot gas. And they are increasing, actually decreasing. And this blue dot, blue line shows the hot gas, the fraction, mass fraction from the particle which converted to the cold gas. And the black line shows that maybe they are converted to the cold gas and then went to the stars. And then this dashed line is a fraction which is stripped from the system and to the intergroup medium. And this one shows the same thing in how the cold gas is. So,
what's the mass of stars as compared to the mass of the hot gas?
I should remember.
I'm just trying to understand, is like what has made most of the stars already? Like this is a small fraction of the potential gas supply that could make a lot more stars?
This star formation happening here is must be quite negligible amount to compare the
stars. I'm curious how much has already happened up to redshift 0.26. So the hot gas fraction that you start with here, how much mass is that?
That's a the stellar mass is like 5 × 10^10. Yeah, and that gas is I didn't calculate the total gas. For the cold gas. There's a cold gas in the 2 × 10^10 gas there, but I think it's a cold gas must be the much less. Probably.
The stars were
5 × 10^10 total stellar mass.
What's the virial mass?
The virial mass is, virial mass is 3 × 10^11.
So practically all the gas is already in stars. It could have gone to stars.
But still, the gas is aggregated as well.
Yeah. It's a tiny fraction.
It's a tiny fraction, that's true.
So doesn't that say that this is not a mechanism that helps much at all?
But a star formation is rate is something like 2 or 3 solar mass star formation rate. It keep going on, just several giga year. So this mechanism is important to shut down those ones. If there's no shutdown, then just keep going as like this.
There's no role in setting the final stellar mass of the galaxy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It makes it redder.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's not like I'm not talking about just, how much star formation is going on in the galaxy and how much fraction is.
What about explaining the color of the luminosity function is just to get the colors right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, of course, the luminosity gets dimmer as well, then, if it's star formation itself. Get blue, get better, and also, luminosity gets dimmer as well. If star formation stops. Okay, okay. So, so this is cold gas. So you can see there's no cold gas is stripped. So basically, in this system, the cold gas, there's no stripping for the cold gas is going on. On the other hand, the hot gas
much less denser and less bounded. And in fact, 90% of the hot gas is stripped. But also you can see that so hot gas is only hot gas, so it's cold gas and then making the stars. So what we ask is indeed very important source for the cold gas and subordination, relating to subordination. But in this case, cold gas is seen under the new supply of the cold gas cut off. So subordination stops. So that's the mechanism of subordination and the subordination really happening in this situation, in this view. So, and the problem is, subordination is worse in the long range slow aroma series. We saw that in the past time in the proposed system transformation. And this is interesting because groups are much more common in the environment than clusters. So, yeah, this mechanism must be heavier. So, which well, now we're interested in looking at the further in more simulations and look at how the rainbow gas looks like. And it is interesting, it's associated with cell formation. But I will have to look at that carefully to compare it with this sort of data zero gas. And also, how standardization depends on the groups and galaxy's mass and info orbit. And group two galaxies, but quite interesting system, but it's pretty healthy system. So it's people just start looking at an observational year simulation. So it will be quite exciting time, and yeah, we should do more later. And thank you. So, I think the question is for the friendlies, that is three, and then what began the data acquisition?
Well, yeah, maybe you could describe when you, because the Apache actually defining more than 20,000 degrees, but there's very little gas between 20,000 and some hundred thousand degrees, so that's the key.
When they got some common envelope to the galaxy.
There is hot gas in the group.
Yeah.
This must have a longer cooling.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know what the initial condition of the hot gas was.
Yeah, when they are isolated.
Yeah, when early.
They are much cold. Low density. Low temperatures and the cooling time is much shorter than Hubble time.
Yeah, that's the point. But that then was basically all cold. That's what I'm saying, is that the hot gas must have been like at least a million degrees or so.
Yeah. It's like the temperature of that system is. Yeah, I think it's sort of it's smaller than Milky Way, so it must be like this, something like 10 to the 6. And
but then the group the gas is hotter.
Yeah, like 10 to 7.
10 to 7.
Yeah. So, but I think it is, so that will also prevent, slow down the cooling, and also the lamp pressure is keep moving, so gas flow is going on, so they have no time to stay there, stay in the potential of the member galaxies. That also, I think, is contributing. But to be honest, we haven't checked that. What is the preventing?
If we got far enough away, maybe then if we're out in the cooler region, then we might start competing.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And in fact, this galaxy is went too far away, outside, it escaped there. And then, but still, it sort of re-accretion is going on, this star formation happened. But compared to this, it's much smaller. And I think this is, we have to look at that. But I think this is because this galaxy was in a filament before they fall into the group. Mm-hmm. But when they get into and come back, and then we will lose that filament, so the filament structures to keep more gas into that target galaxy. So mass accretion rate must be smaller than they were in the filament. Yeah, I think so. These people call backsplash galaxies. Maybe the less gas mass accretion rate, maybe the less than that. But this is just I'm expecting. I should look at more simulations. Yeah. Yep.
So one feature of ram pressure surfing is that you have this comet-like structure that you, I think if you come back from some of your galaxies, there is some comet-like structure. But how can you, for example, or the one in the slide after, but how can you test that observation? For example, you can check the, I don't know, the X-ray contours to check.
Yeah.
Stripping of the hot gas.
Yeah, that's interesting point and a thing. And then there's some and a thing that's happening in a group. And this is in this 2300 group. It's bigger than what I simulated. And this guy's huge elliptical galaxy, and this guy seems falling into the galaxies, group. And in observationally, I think they look at an X-ray and. So this is X-ray. And this guy's X-ray contour, this guy, can you look at? And then I think this is VLA, and the contour is VLA map, so it's called gas map. But the X-ray tail, they found an X-ray tail. So it means they claim some hot gas is stripped, and maybe it appeared in X-ray observations. And the cold gas in the tail is quite often seen in a group and also especially in a cluster. There are lots of galaxies falling into Virgo galaxies, Virgo clusters, and they show the huge tails of the cold gas. But to check the hot gas is really now stripped, maybe X-ray, maybe way to go. But as I said, it's temperature of these small groups, hot gas temperature of these small groups is much smaller. And X-ray emission, expected X-ray emission is low. So it may be tough to see the stripping gas, hot gas, from the observation. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But how can you be sure that your simple star formation recipes actually describe star formation?
Yeah, that's the reason why I'm here. I have no. Yeah, and what we can only do is still doing it compared to the, for example, this is member galaxy, group galaxies, but I try to simulate isolated galaxies like Milky Way and compare these properties of the Milky Way and if it's consistent, sort of consistent, structure is consistent, electricity distribution is consistent, then that's what usually people can take, but we should work more for that. Yeah.
Okay,
that's
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.